Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to preach today on the subject, just hang in there. 1 Corinthians 15, and I want to read verses 56 through 58. And again, my thought this morning is just hang in there. Now, look at verse 56, please. The Bible says the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the heartwarming music. That's been such a blessing. And we understand today, our Father, that we literally and we really do need to just give it all to the Lord Jesus and let Him take care of that which we know that we can't take care of ourselves. Now, Lord, today I pray that you would bless and speak to hearts. There could very well be someone in this service this morning that does not have that 100% assurance that Jesus is theirs. They are not saved. And Lord, I pray today that they'll trust the Lord, get saved, and go out of here as a new creature in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray now that you would challenge the hearts of your people, that we might truly today, as a result of this service, just hang in there by the grace of God. And help us to understand what it means to hang in there. Now, Lord, bless us today. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking this morning while the choir was singing that song about the blood, I think Brother Gordon would really like to have a replacement around here. You know how Brother Gordon always gets lit up on that song, and rightly so. And so don't you all forget about Gordon Glaive now. I knew of a Gordon Glaive, by the way. Gordon Crouch. Don't forget about Gordon Crouch now when that song is sung. All right, don't do it just because of course, Gordon. But I'll tell you, we have a right and a reason to rejoice and to shout the victory when the blood's being sung about. And so I appreciate that good job this day on the choir. Let's get started here this morning. Let me just say this. We hear that quite often. Somebody will say, just hang in there. Just hang in there. But sometimes we get a little bit tired of hearing that because oftentimes we are not fully convinced that the person knows what we're going through. And furthermore, sometimes when people say just hang in there, they don't offer any viable solution. Now, if I understand it right, I get the idea from this text that Paul is laying out the case to the Corinthian Christians that they have a good reason to hang in there. I remember the old pep rallies at high school back there years ago, and it has been a long time, in high school. And the purpose of a pep rally, if I can remember right, like I say, it's been so many years ago, was basically to bolster the school spirit and to pump up the team to go out there and win. But you know what? It's a waste of breath if the team doesn't have the resources and the reason to win. And I've known some teams down through the years that didn't have the resources nor the reason to win. They didn't have, you know, they just weren't trained up. They didn't have the right key people in the right positions. They didn't have the resources. And some people would go at it, some teams would go at it like they didn't care if they won or not. So you see, in order to win, you've got to have the resources and you've got to have the reason to win. Or it's like sending the Mayberry Band off to Raleigh to represent Mayberry. And I can tell y'all can remember that one. I believe the people of God need a pep rally to celebrate that we've already won. Did you hear me when I read it? I've already read it. We're not working our way to victory. Bless God, we're working our way from victory. Look at verse number 57. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. This is not talking about giving the victory in the future. This is talking about present tense. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory. We need a pep rally celebration today in reference to the fact that we've already celebrating a victory by the grace of God. Now, when it comes to hanging in there, getting back to my theme, we need to have something to hang on to. And the something that we hang on to needs to be securely fastened. It depends on what we're hanging on to. If I'm hanging on to something, I want to be hanging on to the right thing. And I want to make sure that what I'm hanging on to is securely fastened. Now, I admire people that have resilience. I think we all do. Franklin D. Roosevelt one time said, he said, when you come to the end of the rope, tie a knot and hang on. But you see, I guess I'm a little bit different. I'd like to know what the rope's fastened to. Or otherwise, it's almost like, imagine this now, imagine a rope being tossed in the water, you have two people drowning, you toss a rope in the water, you tell the two people, now just hang on, and both of them hang on to each end of the rope, but the rope's not fastened to the boat. Now how good would that be? I want to know what the rope is fastened to. For multitudes of people, when they say hang in there, it's just a delay of misery. They may make it through a problem, but at the end of life, they face the biggest problem. You see, I'm thankful to say this morning that God's people, we may face a problem, and God may say to us, hang on, and if the problem itself doesn't work out, we still have the victory, and we still have the assurance that when we get to the end of life's right way, we still will celebrate in the end anyway. Because we know that the rope is fastened. And to me, that's what it's all about. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's what I call hope, don't you? I like the Bible approach to hang in there. It's worded this way. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, the glorious truth is that the rope is fastened. The hanging in there does not depend upon our ability. Yes, human ability may fit in a little bit, but you see, the rope is being held securely. It's literally a rope of hope. It's a rope of hope. I want you to know this morning I'm holding on to a rope of hope. My rope is anchored. My rope is being held securely. My rope is being held tight. The world says hang in there, but eventually there will be nothing to hang to. But God says to His child, hang in there because it's going to get better. I believe that. Hang in there can be translated this way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. There was a movie that came out years ago, and I'm not much of a movie buff, and I'll tell you one reason why. If a movie goes in longer than 30 minutes, I usually never catch the tail end of it. Now, sometimes it might be a little better if I'd sit down during the daytime, but at nighttime, I survive about 10 minutes. Me and my brother, they're the same. My brother and I, many times, he'll come to see me. I'll go to see him. We'll sit down and we'll put on one of the old Mary Tyler Moore movies or something like that. We like a little humor. And we'll start out. Well, sometime we make it to the end of those 30-minute segment type movies, but you can forget it. If him and I are going to be sitting in a chair watching a movie beyond 30 minutes, we're both snoring. We're both gone. I'm told, and I read that there was a movie that came out years ago called, it was called National Treasure. Any of y'all know anything about that movie or remember it? I see Amy over there nodding. National Treasure. I heard that there were two characters in that movie. One of them's name was Ben, and the other one's name was Abigail. And it just so happened that the two characters were trapped on a platform that was teetering over a dark unknown. And obviously, Abigail had slipped and was falling off the platform. And Ben held her by the hand. And Ben told Abigail, he looked at her, he said, "Do you trust me?" And she said, "Yes." And when she said yes, he let her drop. But now that's not the end of the story. When she dropped, she fell to a smaller platform that Ben knew about. And so he knew that she would be secure anytime, anyway, even though she dropped. He knew she would be secure. Abigail couldn't see what was beneath her, but Ben knew what was beneath her. And so you see, there was still a safe place for her to land. There's a moral to that story. That moral can fit into our lives today. God has provided a safe place for His people to land. And sometimes it's difficult when trusting may include dropping. But like Shayla's saying about this morning, I do believe that we need to learn by God's good help to give it all to Jesus. We need to fall on Him. We need to drop on Him. We need to trust Him. We need this morning to hang in there. To hang in there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego hung in there. And they trusted God enough that to know that even when things didn't work out right, and even though they hoped it would work out right, they still clung to God. They still believed God. They still trusted the promises. And in fact, I love to read Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Where here's how it reads. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." But here's what I really like. I'd hate to be facing it. But here's the next verse. But if not. In other words, if we die, if the fire consumes us, or if the lions eat us, if we die, let's go on. "Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Which leads me to believe this morning that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego still believed. Even if things didn't turn out the way they wanted them to turn out, they were still in God's hands and they would still be a victory either way. In other words, even dying would be met by victory. And that's only true of God's people. You see, trusting God means knowing that He sometimes allows things to happen in our lives that might be scary and painful, but He uses them to refine us. In Psalm 66, beginning at verse 10, I read, "For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest up into the net, thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place." Into a wealthy place. Now, know your scripture there though. That's not talking about fame and wealth. That's not prosperity theology there. Whenever you read a passage of Scripture, know what it is saying in its context. Here's what Psalm 66 is saying. Israel is reflecting. Israel is told to reflect on what God did. God brought them out of Egypt into the land flowing with milk and honey. The wealth that he's talking about there was a wealth in reference to the milk and honey of the Canaan land. In other words, God brought them out of Egypt. God brought them through the wilderness. God brings them to the land flowing with milk and honey. You see, that's what God will do in the case of His people. Those wilderness wanderings were fraught with all kinds of issues, problems, difficulties, doubting God and all that. But eventually there was a group of Israelites that went into that land flowing with milk and honey. The whole generation could have, but they died out there in the wilderness because of unbelief. Psalm 40. What am I talking about this morning? Well, I'm still with that same theme today. Just hang in there. But again, here's the thing. I'm putting the emphasis on the fact that it's God we're hanging to. It's His resources. It's His blessings. It's not our wisdom. It's not our ability. It's not our strength. We're hanging to a rope, thank God, that's anchored. Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, I like that, don't you? He's put a new song in my mouth. Now, I'll tell you something. Some of us today have to depend more upon that new song than upon our ability to sing an old song. I'm not too good at singing a lot of old songs. In fact, let me kind of put it like this. In other words, some people can't sing their way out of a basket, out of a bag. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Who won't do that? I'm just trying to, you know. Sometimes they pull out examples that don't even make sense. But some people, they couldn't even sing Blue and Despair, Agony Anywhere and make that even sound right. They may not be able to sing, but I thank God this morning that my joy does not depend upon my ability to sing. My joy depends upon the song that God has put in my heart. And I may not be able to get it out this side of heaven, but bless God, I'm going to get it out there. I'm going to cut loose one day and sing. Just hang in there. While most people say, hang in there and depend on yourselves, God would say, hang in there as you hang on me, as you depend on me. Now, with your Bible still open, look at verses 57 and 58. Let me show you something very, very important. Verses 57 and 58. I want you to notice in verse number 58, the word steadfast is used. Notice, be steadfast. Now, steadfast. Steadfast depends upon victory. Verse 57. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Then he turns around verse number 58. He says, be steadfast. You see, the point is steadfastness depends on victory. And victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But I've got some news here this morning. It doesn't say in that verse, it does not say that, look, verse 57, it does not say, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say that. It says through our Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm saying today is this. How can I preach to you about victory in Jesus if you don't know the Lord? How can you claim the content of this sermon if it's simply victory through the Lord Jesus Christ? But if you can say victory through my Lord Jesus Christ, then my friend today, you can hang in there. But if you don't have victory through my Lord Jesus Christ, then the best anybody can say to you is hang in there, but eventually all it is going to be is just a delay of misery, because your greatest problem is still coming down the pike. I suppose I could put it like this. You can have all the gold in Fort Knox. You can have the best power of the most powerful politician right now living. You can be as popular as the most popular movie star in Hollywood. You can have abundant resources. You can have houses galore. You can have automobiles. You can have yachts. You can have it all. You can have it all. But if you're not saved by the grace of God, you will leave it all behind. You better enjoy it all you can right now, because this is as close to heaven as you'll ever be. Here's the thing that really bothers me. You hear people saying a lot of times, even unsaved people, they talk about how terrible things are and how much of a mess this world is in. They don't realize what they're saying. If they think this world's in a mess, what are they going to face when they go out and face God unprepared? I'll tell you this morning, when it comes into hanging in there, make sure you're holding to the rope of hope. Make sure that rope is securely fastened in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can hang in there, the right kind of a way. Do you know that victory, the word victory, three times in this chapter? Three times. In fact, verse 54, the word victory is found. Death is swallowed up in victory. Verse number 55, O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? Verse number 57, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Victory dominates the chapter. It does. 1 Corinthians 15, victory dominates the chapter. Let me break it down. In this great chapter, we behold the victory of Christ's finished work, verses 1 through 4. Christ's finished work. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, in that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to Scriptures. We see the victory of Christ's finished work. We particularly now are shown the victory associated with His resurrection. Verse number 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We see a victory over the grave. Could I point out something very quickly this morning? It's not a victory in the grave, it's a victory over the grave. Then, verse 54, we see a victory over death. Over death. You read the verse, it's a victory over death. It's not a victory by death. Praise God, death did not score a victory. Death does not score a victory for the child of God. It's not a victory by death. It's a victory over death. Jesus arose. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And thank God Christians celebrate His finished work themselves. One day we will see victory over the grave ourselves, because He's the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are His at His coming. He is the guarantee of a future harvest. In the Old Testament, when the priest would wave that first fruits of the offering before the people, before the Lord, that was a guarantee the big harvest was coming. Christ is the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are His at His coming. That's victory over death. Religions can't offer that. Man's rationalization can't offer that. Only Christianity, only hope in Christ, only the Lord's finished work. I'm here to say today something you already know, of course. This is not a religious service we're having. This is a service of celebration. We're celebrating the life of the risen Lord. And we're testifying to that today as I look across this congregation and know that most of you today can identify with His finished work because you're in Him. I can say to you this morning, hang in there, and you know now what I mean by that. Trust in the Lord with all thine hearts. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all the ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct thy path. That's the same thing as hang in there. Trust in the Lord. That's what He means by that. Now, to wrap this up today, I'll give you in 4 minutes, at least hopefully 4 minutes, an outline, if you want to hang on to this, kind of a skeleton to what we've been saying. Let me put it to you this way, folks. Hang in there. And what I'm doing now is I'm showing you right from the Bible. Hang in there because of a calling. Where'd you get that, preacher? I'm glad you asked me. Right there it is. Look at the calling. Therefore, my beloved brethren, hang in there because of a calling. God doesn't go around wasting designations. God doesn't throw out titles he doesn't mean. When the Bible says beloved brethren, he means it. Do you know, right now as I preach, this is a preaching of a beloved brethren by God's grace. Every Christian today makes up that same title network. Beloved brethren, hang in there because of a calling. Every child of God's been called. How'd you get saved? You got saved because you were called. You didn't work your way in by your own efforts. The Spirit of God got a hold of your heart and tugged at your heartstrings, and you got under conviction, and the Spirit of God pulled you and drew you to Christ. If that's Calvinistic, I'm guilty. I will just believe this morning that no one storms the throne of God's grace and gets in on their own merit. The Lord is the one that does the bidding. Now, if we need further explanation of that, what about 1 Corinthians 1? For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. Hang in there because you're calling, beloved brethren. You ought to hang in there. You've got a good title. Save people. Number two, very quickly, hang in there because of a conquest. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. Conquest. In that word conquest, I see victory written all over, don't you? In the word victory, I see conquest, I meant to say. In the word victory, now what is victory? Now, for the military people, victory, when we talk of victory, we're talking about conquest, primarily. Victory results from conquest. So when God says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, it implies conquest. The conquest is on the part of the warrior from heaven. The conquest is on the part of the commander on high. The conquest is on the part of the fact that Christ upon the cross slew the devil, you might say. Death, hell, and the grave were conquered. Hang in there. Because of your calling. Hang in there because of the conquest. You're not working your way to victory. Remember, you're working your way from it. God's already given it to you. Now, hang in there because of a command. Of a command. What is a command? Be ye steadfast, unmovable. That's a command. God says in so many words, hang in there. That means it's a command. Any command from the mouth of God is met by sufficient resources to carry out that command. Now, boy, I like this. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. It's as though God handed his people on the silver platter of grace, victory. You talking about being handed a silver platter? That's a silver platter of grace. Thanks be to God which giveth you the victory. He's already served it to us on the silver platter. I'm telling you what, everybody ought to come as alive on that one like old Brother Gordon did on that song. Hang in there because of the command. Then hang in there because of the confidence, and I'm done. The Bible says, for as much as you know, there you have it, you know, multitudes of people, in closing, I'd say this, are investing their lives and energy into enterprises and causes that die when they die. But the cause of a child of God will outlive this life. The Bible says, your labor is not in vain. Praise God this morning that we actually can be involved in something that will not be proven to be in vain. We all know people today that have spent a lifetime buying things, achieving things, accomplishing things, and then when their heart quits beating, their cause is over. They leave it behind. But thank God Christians have invested in a cause that will outlive this life. That's a wise person. That's why we ought to hang in there. Romans 8:18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time aren't even worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Child of God, hang in there. That's it. Hang in there. Now I think you know what I mean by that, don't you? If you're unsaved, you need to come to Christ today. Let's pray.